The following program has been paid for by Vital Ministries of Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this day as we head into Thanksgiving Day week. Man, I tell you what, this holiday has come, and it is an exciting time. It's one of these holidays that I like on Thanksgiving is we take time as families, as we sit around the table, we give thanks for what God has done, not only in our lives, but also to, for the harvest, and also too for what He has supplied. And I just pray that you take a moment as you sit around the table as a family to not simply let it go through of a time of being thankful, but to think about the thankfulness of what you thank God for Himself. And I think it will be a special time as families as we sit back and as we take a day of thanking the Lord for what He has provided and His what He does for us and what we can do for giving back for Him. Also, too, as we head into this Thanksgiving Day weekend, we also, too, just a reminder, we send out devotionals 6 days a week for Vital Ministries. You can go to vitalministries.org and you can see that online. We have 5 different writers who write for us 5 days a week. And then also, too, we have what we call Vital News on Saturday. Keeps you up to date with the things that are upcoming events. And also, too, we write for the women as well. My wife is the writer for the Vital Women. It just, again, it's a nugget through each day of inspiration to give you just a way of getting closer to the Lord is our busy schedule. And that is also, too, as we, you know, this week we're closing up on our teaching series on followership. And we're actually going to be starting a new teaching series next Sunday, Too Busy for Christmas. And I think it's going to be a time where we can look at the busyness of life and also, too, how it relates back in the time of ancient times where we celebrate the birth of Christ Himself as we remember. And I just pray as we look back at that and we look forward to that next study that it just, again, it's a time for us to reflect of what He's done, that He has come, and that He's coming again. And as we make way in preparation for that time and not to get too busy in life itself. But we're coming to the end of our teaching series, Followership. And Elijah is coming to the end of his life. And if you have time today as you're traveling, maybe you turned us on and you're traveling down the highway, we want to thank you for listening. Be a part of Vital Ministries. And you can go to vitalministries.org. Check out our website for the listings and the things that are coming up. But if you're driving today down the highway, we thank you for listening. Maybe you're on your way to church. Again, we want to thank you for participating and taking time out of your morning as you travel. Or maybe this is your church. You're sitting at home today. You're listening to KBOE 104.9. We want to thank you for being a part of this radio station and also to part of this ministry. But if you want to open up your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 2, we're going to look at a time of passing. The baton to the successor of Elisha. Elisha has been following Elijah to become a leader, a prophet of God, a man who asks for a double portion of Elijah. Not to be greater as a leader, but to serve God in ways that will advance God's kingdom in a mighty way. As we go older, there are always people in which we hope people will take our places. Those persons of our succession. I recently met with a CPA this past week who asked, "Hey, Mike, do you have a succession plan as you're entering in the later years of your life and also too in your business? And are you planning for an ending? Someone who will take my place as a builder and a successor to continue the heritage that we have built in a company of Sarig Builders." But I stopped for a moment. I realized that it's important for someone to be a possible successor. But more importantly, I want to finish my life well, that I want to be known not as Mike the Builder, but rather Mike who served and followed the Lord, that I loved my wife and my family well, and that my life finished with integrity and character. That is something that I think every person thinks about as they look to the latter part of their lives. What is it as they look in the mirror, the reflection that has been in your life? How is it ending, and what are you doing in the preparation for that? And without a doubt, I can't help but think of Elijah had a similar thoughts. We see him in chapter 1 of 2 Kings that even the enemy called him the man of God. What a way to finish life being called a man of God. And I think you have to be intentional on that, certainly asking and seeking God for direction, whether you're beginning in your life, the trajectory like Elisha, or the completion of your life like Elijah. So let's get started this morning as we look at our subject title. I love this portion. It's called The Chariot of Fire. I'm excited about this teaching message this morning, and I hope you will be as well. So I encourage you to open up your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 2, looking at verses 1 through 4, and we're going to look at point number 1 this morning. Stay here. It's a test. And let's read the word of the Lord, starting with 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 and 4. It says this: When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, you yourself will live. I will never leave you." So they went down together to Bethel. The group of prophets from Bethel came to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away today?" Elisha's response is, "Of course I know, but be quiet about it." Then Elisha said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho." Now, the importance about Gilgal is the beginning. It's the place of where before the Jewish people took the promised land. It's a place of refuge, a place of rest. It's a place in which Joshua now has become the leader. Moses is now gone. The baton has been passed. Very similar situations that are going on that we see with Elijah and Elisha. But the Lord is now told Elijah that he would be taken to heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah would not experience the sting of death. Only one other man has been ever recorded in the battle of this battle of life itself not to die is Enoch. Now, Enoch is the great, 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 great grandson of Adam. He actually knew his grandfather Adam. Enoch has only 5 verses in Genesis 5 about him, but he was the father of Methuselah and lived. Enoch lived on this earth for only 365 years. But Methuselah, his son, is the oldest man that ever lived and recorded of 969 years on this earth. But in verses 23 and 24, it said that he lived in close fellowship with God, that he simply disappeared one day. God took him. Enoch was given the privilege not to die, but he was also, too, was recorded as a man of faith in Hebrews 11:5. But Elijah is considered to be the most powerful prophet of the Old Testament. We're not given his age when he leaves this earth. We know that God will send Elijah back to earth. We know this. It states that event that will happen in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, and that he will preach and turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the children back to the hearts of the fathers. He might actually be one of the witnesses that are recorded in Revelation chapter 11, verses 13 through 12. But here is an important point that Elijah is making. It's a test to see the faith of Elisha. He's not really wanting him to leave, but to stay, but rather he wants to see the depth of his faith. And also, too, there's importance in the direction as we look at what's going on as these men travel the direction. Again, as I reported before, as I stated, Gilgal is the beginning. And it was also, too, the beginning for Elijah of Tishbe in his ministry. Then he's taken to Bethel. Bethel is a place, as recorded, a place of prayer. That would be a distinct purpose of the power of Elijah himself. Bethel, the place of prayer. Then the place of Jordan. Jordan is referred to as the place of where they were, of the crossing. But Following someone is getting more and more rare these days, as we see that in our day. We live in what I would call a me world. What I get out of it. My mind goes back to the movie, if you think with me for a moment, the movie A Field of Dreams, where Kevin Costner plays the role as Ray Casanella, who builds this baseball field in the middle of a cornfield. And I love the part of the movie when shoeless Joe Jackson comes out of the field to look at what Ray has built. And he asks this question, is this heaven? And I love this. No, it's Iowa. But to keep going, Ray is frustrated. He did everything the voice asked him to do. But what's in it for me, he asks. And finally, he figures out it's the time that him and his dad will have a time of catch, a time of where forgiveness comes in the soothing part of his life, where his father is busy. He's doing life. And Ray can't understand why he doesn't take time to spend time with him. So he asked the question, what is it for me? We live life a lot like that, don't we? And mentally, Elijah is wanting to see if he's all in. Will you follow me to the end? But let's see where Elijah asked the question again. And let's continue reading this morning in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And it says this, then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho. Now, Jericho is the place of war. That's the beginning battle for Joshua. And it's also the place of battle that's not only in the physical, but in the spiritual. But Elijah replied again. He says, as surely as the Lord lives, you yourself will live, and I will never leave you. So they went together to Jericho. Then the group of prophets from Jericho came to Elijah and asked him, did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? Of course I know, Elisha answered, but be quiet about it. We'll talk about it later. Now this is important. As they visit these places, Bethel and also Gilgal and these different locations and in Jericho, these are just not places of happening of where God sends them. These are places of where they say in ancient times in history is where the places of the what we'd call today modern-day seminaries, these are the places where these prophets would learn the book of the law, learn how to be men of God, learn how to actually live. So Elijah goes and he visits these places. See, Elijah is now headed to Jericho. It's still a test for Elijah. Will he keep going? And remember, Elisha is a farmer becoming a prophet. I have a farmer friend of mine. His name is Keith. He's a farmer that he does most of his farming in the Fremont area, a small town. But in my eyes, Keith is a big man. He is asked to help lead a youth group back at his church, and he and his wife have taken time to step away from that. But the need is there. But bear in mind, Keith, he's now a grandpa. His kids are now grown. He told me on the Vital Biker trip that he's going back to help the teens in his church. There was a need. And he doesn't run from the need. No, Keith and his wife, they step into the moment. This is a test of being too old, but both of them jump into the test and step into the call that is needed at the place of where they attend their church. There's moments of time, I'm sure he asked, well, I'm too old. Can I relate to the kids anymore? But you see, Elisha is doing the same thing. He's hearing the voice, the call. God sends him to grabs what I call the unqualified and qualifies them. When I see Keith, I see a mountain of a man who loves Jesus and chooses to serve, and he passed the test. And this brings us to my second point this morning, a double portion. But let's continue reading in verses 6 through 10 as we see Elisha ask for the double portion. But then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, the Lord had told him, at the Jordan River. But again, Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. So the two men went together. 50 men from the group of the prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elisha and Elisha stopped by the Jordan River. Then Elijah folds his cloak together and struck the water. The river divided, and the two of them went across on dry ground. When they come to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken away? And Elisha responds, he says, please let me inherit a double portion, a share of your spirit, and become your successor. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah replied. If you see me when I'm taking from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't. See, Elijah does another amazing thing. He and Elisha now are walking up to the Jordan River while 50 prophets are looking down from a distance on the hillside, seeing what's about to take place. It's a remembrance as they divide the Jordan River. It's the same thing that happened with Moses who divides the Sea of the Red Sea. They all walk, a whole nation walks across on dry ground as they escape the Egyptians, as they're chasing them across the land to head to the promised land. So the same thing is happening with Elijah. Both men, they walk across dry ground. Now Elisha is still following, didn't stop at Bethel, didn't stop at Jericho, and no, they don't stop at the riverbank of the Jordan. No, he's following the prophet to the end. He's catching what I call his dust. See, we need more dust catchers, what I call today, more men and women who follow Christ and are willing to catch the dust off the pages of the Bible. I'm on year 8 of reading the Bible through each year, and I'm still catching the dust. The Holy Spirit lifts the pages with inspiration and direction. My wife, she writes for, again, as shared with you earlier this morning as we began our time together, she writes for the women of Vital Ministries, and I love her keen sense of discernment as she responds to the Word of God. They're short, but they're an encouragement, a nugget of every day to be better women of God. She's catching the dust off the pages. See, Elijah now asks the big question. He says this, give me a double portion. And we see the scene. There's a moment that stops here that's unlike any moment that's happening. Elijah and Elisha now have crossed the Jordan River. Elijah turns to his successor, eyes to eyes, moment to moment. It's a special time. And I love this part, what Elijah does. Elijah looks Elisha straight in the face, man to man, and he asks him this question, what is it that I can do for you? Wow, I love that part because he's just he takes a moment for Elisha and knows that they're no longer days, they're moments, they're minutes. The time is ticking. The whirlwind is about to happen, and Elijah knows it. But he asks the question, what is it, Elisha, that I can do for you? And I love Elisha. Man, he asks bid. He doesn't stop back in the dream that God has got on his life. And he says, Elijah, can I have a double portion? Man, I love that. We need people today to dream big, to ask God for what is going on to their life and the things that they could go greater in. And that I think often, have you ever asked from Jesus something big? I want more. I love the song that Zach Williams that's on. It's called Rescue Story. And in the lyrics, it says this. You are a voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of the night, fighting my battles for me. You are my rescue story. Lifted me up from the ashes, carried my soul from death to life, praying me from glory to glory. You are my rescue story. See, Elijah is wanting God to be his voice in the desert like he was for Elijah. Bring him from glory to glory. Lord, I want to show your glory to the people of Israel. Hey, Elijah, give me a double portion. I had a youth pastor who impacted my own life like that. His name is Dan Kellogg, and some of you listening even in the morning will recognize his name, but most of you won't. He was a man who impacted my life as a young man in my teenage years. He was in what I call relentless pursuit of Jesus, advancing the kingdom of God. And I asked Jesus one day that he would put the same fire in my soul like he did for Dan. Give me more of you, Jesus. Help me to be a man that's on fire for you and lives his life all the way, unabandoned for you. See, Elijah wanted more of God, not to be greater than his successor of Elijah, but to do more. Instead, would return for their love of God. Maybe even this morning, you hunger for a double portion. You're in the desert. You're calling out in the dead of the night. You need a rescue story. Ask Jesus, because he never gives up on you. Which brings me to our third point today, point number three, the chariot of fire. And let's look at that chariot of fire today. Imagine with me for this moment as I read from the text. It says this, as they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses on fire. It drove between the two men, separating them. Elijah was carried by the whirlwind into the heavens. Elisha saw it, and he cries out, my father, I see the chariots and the charioteer of Israel. As they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. See, the end is now at hand. You can hardly push a thread between the two men, but a chariot of fire comes from the sky and separates the two men. Elisha is now moved from his successor, Elijah. And now a whirlwind is a part of that, and it carries Elijah to the heavens. It separates the two, and Elijah comes to the end. He sees Elijah going into heaven in a whirlwind. And I can only imagine what a sight, folks, that must have been. It gives me chills just to imagine what the scene could be as Elijah is taken into the heavens. I've seen whirlwinds oftentimes in the summer that come across a dusty part of the land, capturing the dust and lifting it into the air. There's power in the wind. Good luck trying to harness it, and you can feel it, but you can't ever grab it or you can never take it. See, Elijah is overcome by what he saw. He tears his clothes. His master, his rabbi, his friend is now gone. He's in distress with loss of his seeing his friend go. True friends are like that. When you lose them and when they leave this portion of life, there creates what I call a vacancy, a place, a hole that's never the same. And Elisha knows that, but I love this next part, point number four, strike the water. And let's continue reading today as we look at verses 13 through 18. It says this, that Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen and that was taken up. Then Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River. He struck the water with Elijah's cloak, and he cries out, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" Then the river divided, and Elisha went across. He walks on dry ground. In verse 15, it says this, when the group of prophets from Jericho saw from the distance what had happened, they exclaimed, "Elijah's spirit rests upon Elisha." And they went down to meet him, and they bowed to the ground before him and said, "Sir," they said, "just say the word, and 50 of our strongest men will search the wilderness for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has left him on some mountain or in some valley." But Elisha, he says, "No, don't send them." But they keep urging him until they shamed him into agreeing, and finally they do. And Elisha says, "All right then, send them." So 50 men went and searched for 3 days, but did not find Elijah. Elisha was still at Jericho when they returned. And Elisha responds, "Didn't I tell you not to go?" I love that portion of scripture. Man, there's no holding back. Elisha, he grabs the cloak. He grabs the mantle. The spirit of the Lord is upon him. The spirit is even double portion of Elijah. He walks up to the Jordan River. I can only imagine it for a moment. He grabs the same cloak that divided it before with him and Elijah, and he strikes the water, and the water separates, and Elisha by himself walks on dry ground. I love that because the 50 prophets, they're standing up on the hill. They're watching to see if the spirit of the Lord is truly on Elisha. I'll never forget, I had an opportunity when I was going through my commission pastor process, becoming a commission pastor. I remember it was on a weekday morning. We were testing to be commission pastors. We had all of our pastors around the district, and also two men of affluence from the seminary that came down from Michigan. And also, too, we had other seminary students as we were testing the commissioned pastors alongside with the seminary students. And we were all there, and we were going through the testing and going through the time of where it was the placement for us to become commissioned pastors. And I can remember as we took a break, we were standing outside and we were having coffee and a moment. And it was early of a morning, and it was actually a chilly morning, and I'll never forget this. It was an opportunity that happened. It was a moment that I believe without a doubt that God ordained. There came a man, he was in motorcycle clothes, dressed like a Harley rider, and he comes in, and he's traveling through the city of Pella. And for some reason, he takes the what I would call the Vermeer Road that leads into Pella itself. And he travels by, and he sees we're at Third Church up in Pella, the big church, the place of the tower, the place of where I would say that a place of prayer, a place where you can go and have the presence of God himself. And this is so cool. We were standing there in the moment. And this man comes walking through the door. Everybody freezes in the moment. Nobody knows what to say. And I hear the Spirit say, move. So I move and I go up to the man. I said, what is it that you're seeking? How can I help you this morning? And he said, for some reason, I was called to stop here. I'm looking for a Bible. Do you have one? And I tell you what, folks, it was amazing. I just bought a brand new study Bible. I had it with me. And without a doubt, without a moment, I give it to him. I said, here, this is brand new, unmarked. I want you to have it. And he says, no, I can't take it. I can go buy one, but good. Where can I get one? He said, no. I said, no, take mine. And it was a moment in which all the people there were standing and we did some small talk with each other. I gave the man the Bible. I prayed with him and sent him off, and all My peers were standing and watching the moment come down and come into place. Folks, it was the place where I believe without a doubt, like Elijah, the mantle was placed on me. The place of the call where God has called me in my life. The mantle of what I would call of evangelism, to go out and spread the good news of the gospel. That's why I sit here even today as I'm still carrying that mantle even today, to be a voice that cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, because the Lord is returning, folks. He is. As we prepare for a time of Christmas, as we look at the busyness itself, a place in which we know that Christ will return. See, sometimes, folks, we have to strike the water. We have to step into the mantle that God has called us into being, whether it might be simply a man as we lead our families and we do well. We love our wives. We love our children. The mantle of a priesthood of our home, or maybe the mantle of you as a woman, that God has called you to be a Proverbs 31 woman, a woman who tarries and does work, and also too is in the word of the Lord itself, and who takes care of her family, or maybe in the place of work, or wherever it might be of what you're doing. The mantle is placed upon you to spread the good news of Christ. Lord, I'm just so thankful as we have read the story of Elijah and seen a man's life, a man who impacted greatly his time. But folks, it's our time. It's 2019. How is your time? How is the succession of your life as the mantle has been placed on you? And are you preparing the mantle to be given off to the next generations? See, that's what Elijah was doing with Elijah, preparing him for the next generation of prophets, the next generation successor of Elisha, who asks for a double portion. Let me pray with you today. Again, Lord, I want to thank you for this day, an opportunity where we can come and open your word, the word that uplifts off the pages. May we too collect the dust like Elisha did. Collect the dust off the pages so we can be better men and women of God. Maybe there's somebody out there this morning that's a voice that's crying in the desert looking, does anyone hear me? Holy Spirit, I pray that you send your Spirit upon them. Let them know that they're not forgotten. Help them in their mourn of their need, that they need a rescue story, that they can come and know you in a magnificent way, that you can be their Savior today. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you for what you did on the cross for our lives, that yes, you did come as a baby in a manger. You were crucified on a cross, but Lord, we thank you that you're coming again. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Folks, I want to thank you for listening. Our next teaching series you won't want to miss, Too Busy for Christmas. It all starts next Sunday. Be ready as we end our days today with followership. I want to thank you for participating and listening. I am Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.